Welcome to the Blue Jeans Christian Weekly Podcast, where we will take your faith and the powerful Word of God and make them as practical and relevant to your job, home, and hobbies as your favorite pair of blue jeans are on a Saturday. When you're strong in the Lord, you're able to handle every trial that God allows. But are you strong, way down deep in your heart? Strong enough to fight against every attack and temptation that comes your way? Be honest now, probably not. Thank you for joining me on the Blue Jeans Christian Weekly Podcast, where we are in the middle of a series called How to Be Strong in the Lord. And today we're going to zero in on your heart and how to strengthen your heart and be able to withstand any attack that the enemy wants to throw at you. And I'll do so by telling you how your heart is protected, both inside and outside, and what that means. Okay. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, and today we're just going to be talking about verses 14 and 15, which says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Let me ask you a question. What is your most important stewardship? Stewardship means something you actively take care of or have been given responsibility to take care of. What's your most important stewardship? It's your heart, I think. Where is your heart, really? And what's in your heart? And why are you to be a good steward of your heart? Is your heart vulnerable? How do you protect your heart? In fact, what is your heart? Well, it's your innermost being, your core, your values. It defines you. And you know what? Others see what's in your heart by your character. And as my dad used to say, your character is how you act when no one's watching. Let me read you some verses that explain the heart and why you need to protect it and guard it and be a good steward of your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So what is your treasure? What do you value the most? That's what's in your innermost parts, right? Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So what do you got cluttered in your heart that isn't pure, that's keeping you from seeing God? And Matthew 12:35 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." So what comes out of your mouth? I guess that's a good indication of what's in your heart, right? Filthy mouth, filthy heart. That's not me talking. That's Jesus, and Matthew 12:35 says that. John 14:27, Jesus also said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Is the peace of Jesus in your heart? If so, you won't be troubled or afraid. That's what it says. And Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Is Jesus in your heart? Is he the guard of your heart? That military sentry set outside to make sure that you are safe so you can sleep peacefully? So maybe this is sort of convicting, trying to take a look at what's in your heart. You know, is there stinky stuff in there? Is there garbage? Is there cobwebs? Weeds? Such things as anger, bitterness, doubts, maybe worry and fears or frets? Do you seem to always have troubles? Did you have a foul mouth and get you into trouble sometimes? Maybe you need God to clean your heart, which He can and does. God orders your steps on a wonderful journey with an incredible finale if you walk with Him, if you're yoked with Him. And that journey depends on what's in your heart. What's in your heart? And how it's protected, too. So how do we begin to examine our hearts? Well, let's take everything out and take a look. I know that sounds real weird. Look at it this way. What's in your refrigerator at home? What's up front you probably know because you put it there just this morning. But what's back there on those shelves that you don't see very well? Maybe we need to take an inventory of what's there. What's old and stinky and has that dark green fuzziness to it? Maybe a yellow fuzz? Is that a tennis ball in there? How'd a tennis ball get in my refrigerator? Oh, that's not a fuzzy tennis ball. What was that? And why is there something in there wrapped with aluminum foil? I haven't used aluminum foil in 11 years. Why was it so important to me then that I still have it today? Maybe we need to examine everything in your heart. And maybe you can't even do it because, really, your refrigerator to you, evidently, is the first 7 inches deep by 12 inches wide. The rest of the fridge, I don't know what's there, and I don't want to know what's there. Well, there's good news for you. Let me read you a couple of passages what God says. He says in Psalm 26, 2-3, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's from Psalm 139, 23-24. And when you can get to where you can pray that to God, you're making some progress, because that's hard, right? And maybe even scary. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked ways in me. Because when you ask God that, I'm pretty sure He will show you, because He wants you to have a clean heart, and He'll tell you what needs to be thrown out. Even whatever was in that foil that was your prized possession that you wanted to keep just needs to be thrown out. To a place where you can say, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." That's Psalm 51:10. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Steadfast, that means able to withstand the trials and troubles that come along. Wouldn't that be nice? It is. It can be. You can have that. You just have to ask God to clean out your refrigerator and put some good new stuff back in there, okay? In fact, why don't you read Ephesians 4:31-32, by the way? It tells you 5 things that are wrapped in foil in your heart that needs to be thrown away. Some of them are totally fuzzy and they seem to have taken on a life of their own. There are 5 things in Ephesians 4:31 to get rid of. And then there are 3 things in Ephesians 4:32 that you put back in your fridge. So that's your homework, everybody. Ephesians 4:31-32. See what's in your heart that needs to be thrown away and what God wants to put back in. Let me change subject just a little bit and read this verse from Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. What's the BAM word there? You know what I mean by a BAM word? The word that jumps out at you and goes, BAM! You know, that central theme of the verse, if you want to use that term. Let me read it again and see what it is to you. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. I think it's the word righteous. Because if you're not righteous, evidently, the eyes of the Lord aren't on you. And he doesn't hear your cries or crying. So, righteous, What is that? Did you know that Jesus made you righteous before God on the cross? If you've repented of your sins and accepted what Jesus did on the cross on your behalf? You know, he loved you so much, and you were so important to him, that he died for you so you can stand before God and forever be righteous. And did you know that that gives you strength, knowing that God's got his eyes on you, knowing that he hears you when you're crying or need help? That's cool. So the verse that we're looking at in Ephesians 6 says that we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness, which protects your heart. So what's righteousness again? Well, when Jesus died on the cross, he cleaned your heart. And with a clean heart, you look righteous to God. And that's called justification. That's a Christian term, but it's a good one to know. Justification means just as if I didn't sin. Justification means you are declared righteous by God because you accepted what Jesus did on the cross on your behalf. He paid the penalty for your sins, therefore you are set free. You are innocent in the eyes of the court. You are innocent before God. And you know what? That's something that Jesus did for you. You don't have to do anything to earn that. Your good works are not required, according to Romans 4:1-5. And then, with a clean heart, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside your heart. That's what Acts 2:38 says. And why does he come to live in your heart? To begin the process of sanctification. There's another Christianese term. Big word. What does that mean? Sanctification is the process where the Holy Spirit changes you to make you more and more like Jesus. It's like when you become saved and you get a clean heart, the Holy Spirit moves in and starts to change you for the rest of your life, making you more and more like Jesus. Getting rid of those icky things like were in your refrigerator. You know, Jesus took care of that. Now, through the process of sanctification, you start filling it with good stuff, really good stuff. And everything in there is good, good for you and good for those around you. Because then your good works are simply evidence of Jesus cleaning your heart and the Holy Spirit then helping you to be more and more like Jesus. That's where the works comes in. You don't have to do anything to be saved other than repent of your sins and accept Jesus' substitutionary work on the cross. You don't have to do anything to be saved. The things that you do, the good works that you do, are more or less a thank you to what Jesus did. They're just simply evidence of your salvation. James 2:14-26 talks about that. So actually, all of that leads up to this. There are two protections for a true Christian's heart. Two protections. Here's the first one. Jesus cleans your heart when you repent of your sins and accept him as your Savior and Lord. You are righteous in the eyes of God, which again means blameless, no more charges against you, you're innocent. And your heart is protected outside you by justification. The second protection is the Holy Spirit coming to live in your heart when you become a true Christian. He changes your heart, your character, and newness to be like Jesus. Your heart is protected outside you by sanctification. And remember, that's a process. So again, your heart is protected on the inside by the Holy Spirit and protected outside you by being righteous. And that's why this piece of armor is called the breastplate of righteousness. It's outside you. It's placed on the outside. And just like a breastplate, it's put on you by someone else, that being Jesus. Remember, you didn't earn it. It isn't something that you did. Someone gives it to you and puts it on and declares you to be righteous and protected. Also, remember this. The breastplate typically is attached to the belt. It's sitting on the belt. So righteousness and truth are linked because, if you listened last time, this first piece of armor is the belt of truth that's wrapped around you. And this righteousness rests on truth. That's pretty amazing. And this righteousness, just like this breastplate, it gives you a peace of mind that you are eternally safe. And that is a powerful tool of protection, and it makes you strong. You are going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. That's a fact, if you're a true Christian. And, oh, by the way, in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Paul says, "Put on your breastplate, which is made of faith and love." Isn't that cool? The materials that make up your breastplate, that piece of armor, that metal, is made of two things, faith and love. Your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross to save you. And remember, in Hebrews, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, not only do you please God, but God sees you righteous, and that pleases God. And the other is love, God's love for you. He puts that breastplate on you to protect you, to keep you from being killed. Now, you may get injured in battle, like you may get, you know, wounded arms or leg or something, but you won't die because this protects your vital organs. So again, your faith in Christ and what he did on the cross for you saves you. And it's because of God's love for you that he did that. Isn't that neat? And you know what? You belong to Jesus. And he is a powerful winner. So attacks by the enemy will not jeopardize your standing before God. Yeah, you may get a little wounded, but you still will go to heaven. And that's pretty cool, and it makes you strong. Even when the enemy is trying to attack you, you can rest assured that there may be wounds, but you're not going to die. Okay? You're not going to die. I just love that metaphor of the breastplate of the Roman soldier, because the Roman soldier's breastplate was made of metal of some type. And they actually perfected metal for use as their breastplate. And it's kind of a curve to it, right? It wraps around you. It's a curve. And as you know from looking at how a dam is formed, a dam that is holding back water, it has a curve to it because that's the strongest. The harder something pushes against it or hits it, the stronger it becomes. And nothing can penetrate the breastplate. Just like in the Roman times, no implement or weapon that they had at the time could penetrate that. It protected your vital organs, such as your heart, and righteousness, of course, being sinless in the eyes of God, is the protector of your heart. See, isn't that cool analogy? Oh, and by the way, the lack of righteousness leaves one vulnerable to the enemy's attack and victory over you. So make sure you are righteous, okay? Without being a true Christian, a true biblical Christian, you are vulnerable to attacks that may kill you. And if you think, oh, I've got a thick skin, I'm tough, I don't need to be saved, I don't need Jesus, well, good luck, I guess. I have never been able to rely on luck. I rely on Jesus. Therefore, I don't need luck. And see, the Roman commander would tell the soldier, when he put this breastplate on the soldier, he would say, you may get wounded in battle, but with this on, you won't die. Isn't that interesting? Because that's what Jesus says to us. In this life, you will have troubles, he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I am your breastplate, because I made you righteous. So a justified, sanctified, righteous life guards a Christian's heart from the piercing attacks of Satan. It results in good character and integrity in your personal life, which makes you a strong soldier when attacks come. And it makes you noticed by those around you. They notice your good character, your good works, your integrity. And that is a good witness for Jesus, right? Here's a few other verses, and then we'll wind this up for the day. Romans 6:13 says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Boy, that is some amazing words right there. Contemplate those for a while. Instruments of righteousness to God. The next is Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Remember, that's another way of protection, is the Holy Spirit in your heart, and therefore you get righteousness on the outside and peace and joy inside. Wow. Do we have peace and joy? Or are we angry, tormented? So remember this. Whose righteousness protects you? Is it yours? No, it's Jesus's and what he did for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. That's quite a verse, too. That kind of is a good sum-it-all-up verse. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us on the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might become righteousness, and through the Holy Spirit become more and more like Jesus. Now, we don't become God, but become more and more like him. And that's cool, because Jesus overcame the troubles of the world, and he overcame death. And so will we, because we will then get to live with him forever. How awesome will that be? In our next episode, we're going to look at the next piece of armor and how it makes us strong. I invite you to visit my website, bluejeanschristian.com. And there's actually some videos right there on my latest posts about being strong in the Lord, of me delivering these as a sermon at Mountain View Bible Church in Laverkan, Utah. Wonderful little church. Just some fantastic, God-glorifying people there. It's such a privilege to be teaching there. So until next week, go be strong in the Lord.